The topic of this talk is based on collaboration with Finn Larson and Arkady Zeitlin, and has appeared in three recent preprints. String theory as theory of quantum gravity should in principle provide for us a framework to address quantum aspects of strongly gravitating fields, in particular those of black holes. And what we would like to get an answer to is the issues of information loss and somewhat related but more kinematic issue of microscopic features of black holes. While the first question still remains an open one, we have made important progress in addressing microscopics of black holes in string theory. In the days of perturbative string theory, Sen proposed that microstates of electrically charged BPS saturated black holes should be identified with perturbative excitations of string theory. This proposal was further amplified by Callan et al. And Abulkar et al. By interpreting this particular microstates as oscillating modes of underlying macroscopic string. However, one really needs ionic multi-charge BPS black holes, which have regular horizon and thus finite black Bekenstein-Hawking entropy, in order to have a framework to address microscopics of black holes quantitatively. Such black holes are necessarily non-perturbative objects, and they were originally constructed in the Nebeschwartz sector of the theory. In particular, a four-dimensional black hole is specified by two electric charges identified with the winding and momentum modes of the fundamental strings, and two magnetic charges identified with the Nebeschwartz 5-brain and Kaluza-Klein monopole. It turns out that near-horizon region of such black holes can be described by SL2R cross SU2 Wesomino-Witten model, and this recognition of a string theory describing near-horizon region of such black holes set a stage to address the microscopic features of such black holes. Larson and Wilczek proposed within this context to identify microstates of dionic BPS black holes as left-moving, small-scale oscillations of a string which has rescaled tension by the magnetic charges. This proposal was further amplified by addressing the conformal sigma model of those dionic black holes. In the near-horizon region, these black holes end up being described by SL2 cross SU2 as Wesomino-Witten model at level P1, P2. This, for large magnetic charges, this high level effectively describes the Wesomino-Witten model as an effective free string whose tension now indeed is rescaled by the level which is product of two magnetic charges. The microstates in this context are then defined as left-moving oscillations whose oscillating number is specified by the source matching conditions to be proportional to the two electric charges, but also now by rescaled string tension that's yielding the number of left-moving oscillating modes proportional both to electric and magnetic charges. Zeitlin further sharpened the idea by realizing that the effective dimension of oscillating mode is really in the four transverse direction of this six-dimensional string. And if they are superconformal deformations, in this case, the effective central charge turns out to be six. In this case, the statistical entropy within this effective string theory takes the form which is in full agreement with the Bekenstein-Hawking entropy of the BPS dion. Well, all those developments turn out to be overshadowed with the advent of D-brains. By duality, the black holes with NSNS charges can be mapped onto Ramon-Ramon charges and then interpreted as intersecting D-brains. The counting within this context turned out to precisely agree with the Bekenstein-Hawking entropy, both now not only for BPS, but also for near BPS black holes, static and rotating ones in 5 and 4 dimensions. Well, quite recently, there has been resurgence in interest in near horizon geometry again. In this case, it was proposed by Strominger that in the Ramon-Ramon sector, we can describe the BPS, the near horizon geometry of BTZ black hole turns out to be locally described by ADS3 space-time, whose features are captured asymptotically by SL2 cross SL2 conformal field theories. If one identifies the central charge and left and right virasoral levels in terms of parameters of the BPTZ black hole, one ends up with a statistical entropy in this conformal field theory, which turns out to be precisely equal to the Bekenstein-Hawking entropy of the BTZ black holes. This observation was further generalized to 5-dimensional and 4-dimensional static black holes. In particular, 5-dimensional black holes in string theory were embedded in D=6, and their near horizon region for near BPS black holes turned out to locally describe ADS3 cross 3 sphere, and in 4 dimensions ADS3 cross 2 sphere. Following the same procedure, one ended up with the description of statistical entropy that is identical to the one of near BPS black holes. This result, while on one hand very abstract, on the other they are robust and compelling, and they renewed interest in the study of near horizon region of black holes. Which brings me to the main topic of my talk, where I would like to address microscopics now in terms of for rotating black holes and derive their features from the features of the near horizon region of such rotating black holes. The talk is split into 2 parts. In one part, I'm going to address this microscopics in the Ramon-Ramon sector, essentially identifying near horizon geometry and found the statistical entropy a la Strominger, and then make some interpretational remarks for the black hole perturbations in this case. The second part is the near horizon geometry of the Nevis-Schwarz sector. In this case, those black holes are described by conformal sigma model, and we'll find its near horizon interpretation again to be of a simplified form, and then generalize the counting arguments from not only the left moving but also to the right moving small scale oscillations, and found the statistical entropy there. In this case, this approach completes the statistical interpretation of black hole entropy in 5 as well as in 4 dimensions of rotating black holes. But for the sake of simplicity, I'm going to concentrate only on the 5-dimensional case. So the prototype example of 5-dimensional rotating black hole is the one of toroidally compactified string. It is specified by its mass, 3 charge parameters, and 2 angular momentum components. Those 6 parameters can be traded for non-extremality parameter, which specifies deviation from BPS limit, 3 boost parameters, essentially specifying the 3 charges, and the 2 Kerr angular momentum components. Interesting for this general rotating black holes, the Bekenstein-Hawking entropy assumes this very suggestive form. It splits into 2 parts. First one proportional to the sum of the value of the inner and outer horizons, and the other one to the difference of them. Know that the inner and outer horizon now are specified by non-extremality parameters and by the values of the Kerr angular momentum parameters. This 5-dimensional general rotating black hole has actually higher dimensional interpretation. In the Ramon-Ramon sector, the magnetic charge P is the charge of D5 brain, Q is the charge of D1 brain, and Q tilde is the momentum along the common direction of the intersecting 5 and 1 brain. In the Nevis-Schwarz sector, in turn, the charge, magnetic charge P specifies the Nevis-Schwarz sector 5 brain, Q the fundamental string, and Q tilde, again, the momentum along the common direction. Well, the metric of such five-dimensional black holes is extremely complicated, and I wouldn't dare put it here in front of you. When we embed this five-dimensional black hole into six dimensions, the metric is still complicated, but it simplifies enough that I can put it on half of the transparency. This is the Einstein frame metric of rotating string, which is six-dimensional embedding of five-dimensional rotating black hole. It's specified in terms of the modified harmonic functions that specify the five brain and one brain charges. However, they're also modified by the function that is related to the angular momentum component. So it's made out of three parts. The lower part specifies the deformed free sphere, deformed now by the magnetic and electric charges. Then we have a mixing term that mixes the string direction and time with the two azimuthal angles of the three sphere. And the first part is a sector of radial coordinate, string direction, and time coordinate. However, it is still of a complicated form and carries the angular dependence. The metric carries angular dependence. So it's not that simple. However, we can go to near horizon region, taking the decoupling limit when the field theory decouples from the background. And it essentially corresponds to taking the string tension very small, going close to the horizon, take a non-extremality and Kerr parameter small, while on the other hand, taking boosts for the magnetic and electric charge large in such a way that these combinations remain fixed. Essentially, what this region corresponds to is to the region where the five brain and V1 brain charges are very large and effectively describes near BPS black hole in this case. Now, the previous space-time that was, compact enough but still quite complicated reduces significantly. In particular, the previously deformed three-sphere turns out into ordinary three-sphere whose radius is directly proportional to the electric and magnetic charges. We still retain the same mixing terms between time and string direction and azimuthal angles, and the RYT direction still depends on the metric still depends on the theta. Okay. However, it turns out that we can make a co-moving local transformation of azimuthal angles by the particular combination of time and string direction. And this metric then reduces locally to a direct product of BTZ black hole cross S3. The same as in the static case. However, now the mass of the BTZ black hole and the angular momentum of the BTZ black hole do carry dependence on the angular momentum component. Now, following Strominger, by realizing that BTZ part of this solution is locally ADS3, and extracting asymptotic boundary as conformal field theory, whose central charge is now fixed in terms of the magnetic and electric charges, and Virasoro levels are fixed in terms of the sum and difference of the mass and angular momentum of the BTZ black hole. However, now this one depends also on the angular momentum components of the five-dimensional black hole. So consequently, from this parameterization using Cardy's formula, one ends up with the statistic entropy, which is not that simple, and it turns out to be precisely equal to the Bekenstein-Hawking entropy of the rotating five-dimensional black hole. I would now like to just make a few minor remarks about the black hole perturbations of such rotating black hole, about the perturbations in such rotating black hole backgrounds. Since As we've seen, the near horizon geometry of such rotating black holes is locally ADS3 cross S3. The black hole spectrum is the same as that of the entire class of high-dimensional black holes. It's organized into multiplets of superconformal algebra that has been investigated in detail in a number of recent papers. Such black hole perturbations can in some way be viewed as test particles that probe interactions with the black hole background. So their solution to their wave equation turns out to reproduce the gray body factors. And I would like to just digress briefly and tell you a little bit about the features of gray body factors in the case of rotating black holes. Specifically, in the case of minimally coupled massless Hilbert fields, the wave equation in the general in the background of general five-dimensional black hole turns out to be tractable, surprisingly. One non-trivial observation is that the wave equation for such minimally coupled scalars has a feature that the solution can split its radial and angular parts, which in case is non-trivial for the case of rotating backgrounds. Then in turn, the radial part of the wave equation can be put into this master forum, which has essentially two dominant parts, one that becomes dominant at the inner horizon and the other one that becomes dominant at the outer horizon, and their prefactors are captured by the thermodynamics geometrical features of the inner and outer horizon. Namely, they are captured by the surface gravities at the inner and outer horizon. Interestingly, what we observed with Finn a year ago is that in the case if we drop the part that becomes dominant at asymptotic Minkowski infinity, and this part can be actually dropped for near extreme rotating black holes, in this case, this master equation becomes a Casimir operator for SL2 cross SL2 symmetry. And we conjecture that this symmetry is related to underlying conformal field theory. However, we did not recognize a connection to the ADS3 spaces. Now, in the spirit, in the more modern language, the six-dimensional embedding and the corresponding wave equation for six-dimensional rotating black holes makes this connection even more transparent. In particular, if you look at the wave equation of six-dimensional rotating black hole, even for the case of minimally coupled massive particles, it turns out that now this wave equation in six dimensions can again be separated even for rotating background. Its radial part and the angular parts can be separated. And now the energy of the test particle is specified by right and left moving energy associated with the right and left moving direction of the string. Okay. Now, in principle, I could write wave equation for you here too, but it's still messier, and let me just concentrate on the near horizon region in this case. And you see the near horizon region is captured, this radial part is captured by the same type of equation as we encountered in five dimensions, only that this asymptotically, the part that is dominant in the case in asymptotic infinity is absent now. Another thing that we can observe from this wave equation is that the corresponding conformal weights of the scatter particles, which are in the static case specified by the left and right inverse temperatures and left and right energies associated with the string direction, now get just modified by a part that is proportional to angular velocity, left and right moving angular velocity of the black hole, and the eigenvalues, azimuthal eigenvalues associated with the two azimuthal angular directions. Okay. So now let me get, after those remarks, let me get to the next second part of my talk and address the near horizon features of the Nevis-Schwarz sector. Now, in the Nevis-Schwarz sector, the magnetic charge is specified by the Nevis-Schwarz 5 brain. Q specifies fundamental string charge, and Q tilde is the momentum along the common direction. Now, the physics in the Neuschwarz sector is captured by six-dimensional conformal sigma model, which is specified now by the metric in the string frame and supplemented by the antisymmetric tensor and the dilaton. Now this sigma model for the general rotating black holes is a very complicated form, so I wouldn't even dare write it for you. But again, what we see is some interesting features that appear when we go to near horizon region, namely when we take magnetic and electric charges very large compared to other parameters in the theory. In this case, the sigma model assumes the form put in five lines, and it contains angular part is fully captured by SU2 sigma model. Then in the first part is specified by the light cone coordinates of the string and the radial coordinate. And on top of it, what we have is a mixing term, okay, that couples the light cone coordinate to the chiral left and right SU2 Cartan currents of SU2 symmetry. Okay. Namely, this Lagrangian sigma model Lagrangian in the near extreme limit turns out to be described by a marginal integrable deformation of SL2 Wesomino-Witten model, where the deformation is proportional to left and right chiral SU2 Cartan currents. Since it's marginable and integrable, we can introduce again, coordinate transformations, very similar the way we've done in the Ramon-Ramon sector. And in this case, after coordinate transformation of these mutual angles, we end up with the Wesomino-Witten model, which is in a much more compact form. In particular, the SU2 part remains intact. And if we further do the coordinate redefinition, rescale radial coordinate in that form, and rescale the string light cone coordinate just by constant terms. In this case, we can cast this rotating near horizon sigma model in a canonical form, which is a direct product of canonical SU2 R cross SU2 Wesomino model, both at levels K equal to magnetic charge. So this neat observation now, in turn, enables us to count the microstates associated with the near horizon region of the black hole specified by Neuschwarz charges. In particular, what we would like to do now is generalize the previous work that included only left-moving deformations, also by adding the right-moving deformation to the original sigma model Lagrangian. So what we do is we start with the sigma model Lagrangian that I just described on the previous page. And what I've done is here I captured all the four transverse coordinates in the angular and radial direction by xi coordinates. Okay. And the first part is essentially the truncating SL2 part of the theory. Okay. Now to this basic Lagrangian, I'm adding perturbations in the four transverse direction. But now not only those proportional to the left moving light cone coordinate, but also to the right moving light cone coordinate of the effective string. Because the level of the Wesomino-Witten model is very large, effectively the spectrum is that of a free theory, and the perturbations in the four transverse directions are essentially the free string oscillations. Supplementing this observation, that we are counting really, the dominant contributions are really coming only from the four transverse direction to the string, we end up with the effective central charge again 6. Okay. The marginal perturbations in the left and right moving directions can be integrated out. And in this case, when we integrate out those light degrees of freedom, we end up with a Lagrangian that can be cast in the old standard forum, but now with new coefficients K and M being supplemented by the contribution from the perturbations. Now we have to assume the matching condition onto a string source, which ensures that the average value of the coefficient K and M as average over the compact string direction is zero. In this way, we get the number of left moving oscillation number, which is equal to the average value of the left moving perturbation, to be directly proportional to the coefficient K0 in the original Lagrangian. Recall, K0 in the rotating black hole Lagrangian is of that form. Okay. And similarly, the right moving oscillation numbers are equal, directly proportional to the number of, to the coefficient in front of dV/dV. Once we have that, we just plug the actual values in the sigma mod Lagrangian for rotating black hole, get those two numbers, supplementing by central charge, and get the statistical black hole entropy that includes both left and right moving modes and is identical to the Bickerstein-Hawking entropy. That's transparency. No, I'm sorry. I have one more transparency. I have to conclude. Okay. So we have complete, in a successful manner, to interpret statistical entropy of BPS and near BPS black holes in 5 and 4 dimensions for the case of rotating black holes. Namely, along with the well-known deep brain counting, now we also have a complementary counts for microscopics from near horizon geometry, both in the Ramon-Ramon sector and the Schwarz-Neveschwan sector. Interesting, all these three approaches are complementary, and yet they all reduce to description in terms of an effective string theory and thus an underlying two-dimensional conformal field theory. It's thus very important to learn more about the features of underlying conformal field theory in each of those cases and hopefully make a unifying connection between them. Ultimately, there is still a major unanswered question that we are all trying to look after, for whose answer we want to look after, and this is the issue of whether we can really quantitatively describe not only BPS and near BPS black holes, but also non-BPS black holes. And is this quantitative description going to come out also in terms of an effective string theory? Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any questions? Yes, Andy?
Yes. Okay.
Could you repeat the question, please?
Yes. What Andy is asking me, if I can show precisely what I identify left-moving and right-moving oscillations with. Okay. So this matching condition onto the string source, it's an assumption. Okay. In turn, tells us that those oscillations in the transverse directions are integrated out, we get a new coefficient in front of du d bar u, and now also in front of dv d bar v. Okay. We assume that the average value of this coefficient is zero due to the matching on the source. This is very much a la Kalan et al. And Dabolkar et al. Okay. So assuming that this averaging is zero, it tells us that this relationship between the original coefficient in the original unperturbed Lagrangian, okay, is related to the number of these oscillations. Okay, average value of the square of this oscillation coefficient. And identify the average value of this squares of oscillations with the left moving oscillation number. So this is a prescription from the matching condition that the number of left-moving oscillation mode is directly proportional to the coefficient K0 in front of du d bar u, and right-moving ones is directly proportional to coefficient dv d bar v. I guess it enables us to relate the coefficients in the original unperturbed Lagrangian to what we call the number of left-moving and right-moving oscillation mode in this effective theory specified in the near horizon region.
Any other questions?
Okay.
We have time for one more. No?
Yes.
Andy? Yes. Samir.
No, it's not. You see this big coefficient kappa. Okay. This is the effectively what it does. It rescales the effective tension. Those are Wesel-Minow-Witten models at level K. Okay. If I take this K level in front of everything, I can view that as rescaling of the string tension. Okay. Precisely by this kappa, which is P in five-dimensional case. So it's not put in by hand. Taking large level, one is dealing with a string, effective string, whose string tension is rescaled again in the same manner.
And the tension is 1 upon, how is it connected to the number of brains, 1 upon
N5? Yes. It's divided. So rescale tension is the old tension divided by the number of brains.
Okay, well, let's thank Miriam again.